Hey, everybody, welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast. Another episode with Jeff here, and we're going to have a great day with Chris Shurian. Chris and I have been having a long conversation before this, talking a little bit about his life and business, and both of us have got the battle scars to show it, growing up in businesses and building businesses. So stay tuned. If you want to learn a little bit about how to successfully grow a business without being beaten down too much, you need to listen to what Chris has to say. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on in just a second.
Welcome to the Freedom Nation podcast with Jeff Kickle. On this show, Jeff shares his expertise in financial and retirement planning from a different perspective. Planning for your Freedom Day, which is the first day that you wake up and have enough income or assets and do not have to go to work that day. Learn how to calculate what you need, how to generate income sources, and listen to interviews from others who've done it themselves. Get ready to experience your own Freedom Day.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Chris, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you doing?
Great. I'm so glad to have you on. I really enjoyed our previous conversation. We probably did talk for another hour.
We could, yeah.
Need to flip the camera on at that point. So why don't we kick it off? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? How did you get to where you're at today?
Well, you know, this story could take up the next couple hours of conversation, actually, but I'll give you the Reader's Digest version.
Let's get the Post Notes version. Yeah.
You know, I did the math the other day, and of the 39 years that I've been, you know, adulting or providing for my family, of those last 39 years, I've only worked for four people over those 39 years. The rest of the time, it's been my own. You know, when I was younger, I was working for a company. You know, I was a good hard worker. My parents instilled that in me, so I got that. And I just got to the point where I had this little, you know, entrepreneurial seizure, is what you know Michael Gerber called it, where I thought, man, I could do this, and I could probably do it better. And so I jumped out on my own, and I've been going ever since. There's been a few times, like, you know, when I moved to Utah back in 1993, I was self-employed in California, but when I moved to Utah, I got a job just because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And and I was fortunate enough to work for a couple of different companies that I learned a lot, got some great experience. And so when I set out on my next venture, I had all that knowledge, some newfound knowledge over the previous year and a half, and applied that to what I did. So I've just been an entrepreneur that whole time. I've worked in several different sectors. I've had some successes. I've been, you know, recognized as a successful entrepreneur, and I've had some failures, man. I've had my teeth kicked in, sometimes by my bad decisions, sometimes by the economy. You know, in 08, 09, the economy really, they ripped the rug out from underneath me. I was very highly leveraged. I was growing. I was going to town. I you know, put it all on the table, and all of a sudden it was all gone. So yeah, I've had some great opportunities. And I'll tell you, you know, the name of my platform, and you mentioned it, was Bootstraps and Battle Scars. I mean, I've bootstrapped the hell out of everything I've done, and I've got battle scars to show for it.
As you got enough battle scars on your back for everybody, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, and then I might be getting ahead, but I was fortunate enough to have an exit back in October.
Okay, cool.
And actually walked away with some money in my pocket, and then an opportunity to take a step back and decide, okay, what do I want to do now? And I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit more, but I had the opportunity to, you know, take all that stuff I've learned and help other entrepreneurs, help other founders, help other business owners navigate their entrepreneurial journey. And I look at these battle scars I have, and I look at them as learning experiences. And if I can share some of my knowledge with these other founders and owners and entrepreneurs, then I think I can help them navigate, you know, these treacherous waters of entrepreneurship. And that's what I'm doing now. And it's been a lot of fun.
That is fantastic. Well, let's talk a little bit about that transition. Tell us a little bit about Bootstraps and Battle Scars and what you're doing with it.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what happened is I had this exit, and I met with my wife. Well, my wife. I meet with my wife every day, actually.
Crazy. I was going to say, I would have assumed you meet with her every day. I meet with mine as well.
But I also grabbed some of my close friends who were in my inner circle and just said, okay, what's next? My family was involved in that. Some of my older kids were there. And we all agreed that, man, if I could put this knowledge I have to work to help other people, that might have something. So one thing you learn about me is I love serving people. I love doing things for other people. In fact, every business I owned was very heavily customer service oriented. So, you know, the restaurant, the construction company, the cabinet shop, the hospitality, you know, customer service is always very important to me. And so I thought, well, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there. Everyone and their brother is a business coach or a life coach of some sort, right?
And my belief on life coaches is most of them are so screwed up, I don't want them helping me at that point.
Yeah. And so there's a little bit of a stigma. Right.
Yeah.
I go to a networking event and there's a table of six people and, you know, five of them are coaches and consultants. And, but you know, my friends and my family really, you know, encouraged me encouraged me is the right word, empowered me to go out there and do it because not everyone has the experience I have. Not everyone has the knowledge I have.
Yeah.
So what I do now is I focus on, coaching fellow entrepreneurs, business owners, CEOs. I do that through one-on-one. I have a lot of clients where we just meet one-on-one on a weekly basis. And usually when I'm one-on-one, I'm also available on my phone. In fact, I had one of my clients call me about 45 minutes ago to just run some stuff by me.
Yeah.
I also do a podcast. You're kind of an old pro at this podcast thing. You know, I'm just the rookie, but I do that for fun. It's called Bootstraps and Battle Scars. And the whole concept is I interview fellow entrepreneurs and I have them tell me their stories, you know, tell me about bootstrapping, tell me about some of the battle scars, you know, tell me some of the lessons they've learned. And that's been a lot of fun. You know, most of my guests so far have just been people I've known throughout the years who I think have a great story. But when you really start asking them and digging a little bit deeper, you know, I learned things from some longtime friends that I just didn't know about before. And I thought, man, that's cool. And so, you know, I hope that other people can hear that and just get their different nuggets from whatever they pull out of that story. And then I moderate a group called Founders Exchange, a very highly disciplined peer mastermind group. So, and I say highly disciplined because there's some pretty serious rules on how we interact within this group. And I do that so that an entrepreneur, a business owner can come to a safe place where they don't feel judged. They feel like they can actually talk about some of the hard stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff, you're a business owner and you know that there are some things that happen or some things we have to deal with that you just can't talk to anyone about. Right.
No. It's lonely because you can't talk to an employee about it because then they're going to freak out because.
And, you know, that's why they say it's lonely at the top, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is. So we create this group. We have about 8 to 10 members in each group. And there's rules like, you know, you have to be committed. You can't just miss meetings. You have to be there every month. You're not allowed to give advice. So if somebody shows up with a little bit of an issue, then we all have to dig into our experience and share some sort of experience that was similar to what he's going through or she's going through, and then allow them to take away. There's words you can't use, like, you know, you should, or if I were you. We don't do that, off limits. And confidentiality, you know, people need to know that if they're going to come in and talk about something sensitive, it stays in the room. And we eliminate whatever conflict we can. So we discourage members to do business with each other. Because like I said, it's not a networking group by any means. So with the Founders Exchange, we're able to create that place where owners can come in and have a place to share. I'll have to admit, Jeff, you know, over the years I've seen, you know, people share hard stuff, but people also need a place to share the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I have a good friend of mine who used to work for me actually, who just had a $250 million exit.
Wow.
For half of his business, Jeff, half.
Okay. Half.
And now together they're working towards a $1 billion exit.
Jeez.
Now, who do you talk to about that, Jeff?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't talk to your employees about it. You don't talk to your neighbors about it. You don't talk to your family about it. So who do you talk to about it? So he can come into a place like Founders Exchange and say, okay, whew, you know, here's a safe place. Whatever I say in here is confidential. And he can talk about things. Even as good as that is, he still has stuff he needs to talk about.
Yeah.
So through the one-on-one coaching, the Founders Exchange, and our little podcast, you know, I consider myself a champion of entrepreneurs. You know, I'm out there helping them as best with whatever I can.
Well, in today's world, what do you find? What are you hearing from your business owners or your group members and stuff like that? What challenges are you hearing from them in today's world?
You know, that's a great question. I'll tell you, my number one, probably the number one item that I focus on with my clients is they're bombarded with technology, with different apps. There's a program for this, there's a program for that. There's an app for this, there's an app for that. And what I find is that some of these fellas have overcomplicated their business and they're losing control. And so there's a couple, like the one I talked about, just called me about 45 minutes ago. You know, he's very successful, but he's just, believe it or not, all this technology and all these software programs and all these applications he's using that are supposed to make his life easier are actually making his life more complicated. It boggles my mind. I asked him, well, what's this for? And he tells me. I'm like, well, what's that for? And he tells me. And I'm like, well, what's this for? And he tells me. And I'm like, well, does this talk to that? Well, no, it doesn't. So we have to do this. And so our focus right now with him is the theme of 2026 is to simplify. Mm-hmm. And we're going through and we're cutting out, you know, programs that just don't serve him. I mean, some things we're going back to a good old spreadsheet. And I'm showing him that, hey, you know, back in the old days, Jeff, when you and I were building businesses, what did we have? We had QuickBooks and a spreadsheet, right?
Yeah.
And it was amazing what we can get done.
And amazingly, we still got the business done with all of that.
Yeah, we did. And so with him, for example, we're just scaling back. We're simplifying. Okay. You know, we're talking to his employees. We're finding out what works for them. So one of the challenges that I see a lot, and maybe it helps that I'm coming from where I came from, I'm a little bit old school, is I can sit there and say, well, why do you need that?
What are you using that for?
Yeah. Is it really doing its job? And then, Jeff, they're spending so much money on these apps. And I'm like, you're spending.
I call it being $40 to death. It's just like death by 1,040 cuts, you know? This one's just $40 and this one's just $40. And then you look back and you're like, you're just paying $500 a month for a bunch of stuff you don't really use that doesn't talk to each other.
Yeah. And here's a good one. You know, he really feels like it's important, and I agree with him, to manage the leads that are coming in, right? Mm-hmm. So he knows where they're coming from and he can, you know, work those leads and do what he does. Well, his type of business, quite frankly, only has maybe 10 leads a month that come into his business just because that's the kind of business he's in.
Yep.
Well, he was spending $2,000 a month on a program to manage his lead intake. And I'm like, you're getting 10
leads.
That
can be managed in a freaking spreadsheet. I'm sorry.
I mean, give me a notepad and a pen and I'll do it for $2,000 a month. So, to circle back to your question, I think it's just simplify. I think people are just being bombarded, overwhelmed. You know, and of course, you can be sold on anything. You can, you know, the guy who's selling you the program can sit down and say, oh, this program would do everything except for, you know, make you a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Well, it looks great, sounds great, let's do it. And then you get into it and man, maybe it's not the right answer. Yeah. So that's one of those things that I see a lot right now is just, it gets complicated. We need to simplify, you know, focus on what's important and just kind of the good old days when you just worked and hammered things out and got it done.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I mean, there are technology tools. You and I were talking about it with AI, you know, of ways that you can use a lot of stuff. You know, you can use AI to simplify your life, but yeah, so much of it, I had the same problem. I mean, I'm Jeff, I am a technology junkie. So, you know, any new thing I'm like, ooh, I got to try that. And ooh, I got to try. And then I forget about them. And, you know, I look at my credit card statement and go, whoa, I'm like $40 to death here. But, yeah. You know, I mean, that was, you know, when I finally found Go High Level, I mean, I started looking at it and going, my God, all the stuff that I've been spending money on, $80 here, $40 here, you do it all for a $300 package and I can manage all my businesses under one platform.
In fact, it's funny you mention that because they had Go High Level, which is the program I'm learning right now.
Yep.
They had Go High Level. Then they switched to another program and seriously went from, I mean, Go High Level to $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what does this other program do that Go High Level doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, it does all kinds of things. Well, yeah, but are you using them? Are you using all those other things?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So yeah. So you know how easy it is. It gets out of hand quick.
Well, it does. And I mean, it's easy to, you know, the next shiny thing and, oh, here's this thing or that thing. And, you know, I want to try it and then I try it and then forget about it. And, you know,
they don't forget about billing you, do they?
Every month without fail, they bill me. Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to get that mindset for my own business to go the opposite direction at that point and get, I want a little piece of that never ending, you know.
Oh,
never ending, no cancel world.
Yeah. Now you can't even join the gym without getting on the auto pay.
Nope.
Not driving nuts. And then here's a funny story, just a little antidote, but my elderly mother lives close by an assisted living center. She's awesome. We take care of her, but she uses my Amazon Prime account to watch movies, right?
Yeah.
Well, every once in a while I have to go into my Amazon Prime and look at my subscriptions. and you know, there's $150 a month in like different platforms because unfortunately I gave her the password.
Yeah.
So my mom's like, oh, this looks like a good show. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'll subscribe to that. Yeah. No, I have to subscribe to this channel to be able to watch that.
Yeah.
You just have to look a little deeper and you can find out where you can just buy it and not have to subscribe.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm, you know, we subscribe to Hallmark TV and, you know, all these different things. So yeah, it's just too easy to do it. And like I said, if you're not watching the credit card statement, oh man, it's out of control.
Yep. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you see. What is the direction that you see kind of what you're doing? Where do you see that going over the next 5 to 10 years? Because I don't see this getting any easier. running a business is tough. And I think it's going to be even more complicated with technology and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, part of what I do, of course, is I don't have like a lot of coaches and a lot of consultants have a kind of a set program where they say, hey, you know, let me run you through this little program and we'll spit something out at the end. And I just don't do that. I actually sit down with each business owner and help them analyze and I'll find out what their pain points are. Another thing I do is I'll actually sit down with all their employees and their stakeholders. So for example, employees, if it's a contractor, I'll sit down with some of their trade contractors. I'll meet with some of their customers and I can do an interview process, which allows me to identify some opportunities that the owner isn't even seeing. Cause you know, as owners, we get in the tunnel vision, right? And so one of the things I have going for me that I think is that I'm not just locked into, we're going to work on this segment of your business. I'm going to do an analysis of the whole package, and then we can identify the areas we need to work on. And that allows flexibility, right? So, you know, whatever his pain point in is, yeah, I can get on that and I can help him work through it. But then I can also help him identify things that he may not be aware of. And so I think that going down that road, once again, allows me the flexibility to help in many ways. You know, I had a client that came to me and said, now I've been doing this officially since October, but over the last 10, 15 years, I've done this as kind of a part-time mentor, you know, consulting thing. So now that I'm leaning into it full-time, but I've had clients come to me that we were working on business stuff and they came to me to talk about marriage, you know, their personal life. And maybe they're having a struggle with their spouse and having been through a divorce and knowing what that's like and I experienced it, then, you know, I can share some of my experiences on what happened in my situation and how we handled it. So I feel like I'm, you know, I have so much life experience that I have to offer other people that I'm not really restricted to, hey, you know, let's just talk about marketing, or hey, let's just talk about your books, or hey, let's just talk about your systems. I mean, I can cover a lot, and I've enjoyed that, because as I mentioned, there's a lot, right? I have a lot of, there's a lot of challenges that businesses have. So moving forward, I'll continue to do that. The Founders Exchange, I think, is a great tool that can help the masses. I can get, you know, I can get 8 to 10 people in a group, and they can help themselves. And and then, you know, I'm writing a book.
Cool.
Doing the book thing. Hopefully the book can get out there. And, you know, I've got two books that I've created outlines for. One is my philosophy on leadership. It's called Lead with Grit and Grace. And then the other one is, I don't have a name for it yet, but it's basically, you know, and Jeff, you could probably relate to this, but it's just, it's business basics 101. It's like what every basic thing a business owner needs to know and understand when they start their business. I mean, just simple stuff like create an org chart, give people jobs, give them responsibility, and hold them accountable to that. I mean, people don't get that, right? They don't, no, there's a lot of simple things. So those are, and I'm hoping that those two books will just provide enough information. You know, I'm a pretty simple guy, so it'll be a pretty simple read. You know, one of my mentors is a Harvard MBA, and he's a coach, and, you know, he and I speak a different language, right? I mean, you know, we speak a different language. So he writes a book and it's very academic. I could write that same exact book and, you know, put it in my words, and it's a whole different audience that's going to, you know, read and appreciate that book. So, so I just hope I can share the good word and get the message out and help, you know, as many entrepreneurs and owners and founders and CEOs as I can.
Yeah, no. And I agree with you. I mean, I think that there's been a lot of books written about the basics, but I think, you know, from your point of view, it's like, okay, after all these years of building businesses, here's the stuff that I wish I would have known at the beginning. You know, and if I'd had probably had this, I would be way farther ahead than I am today as a result of it.
So. And, you know, here's a funny thing is when I was talking to my mentor about writing a book, I thought, okay, another leadership book, leadership book. I mean, how many leadership books have been written? And I'm like, does the world really need another leadership book? And he said to me, he said, well, Chris, you know, why do they keep making movies? Like, how many new movies come out a year? Well, they've made a movie about everything you can make a movie about, but they still keep making movies.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That makes
sense.
Maybe
there's a reason for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So there's, you know, you and I both have hundreds of leadership books on our bookshelves. Movies, another one. Well, you never know, right? You never know.
Well, so my belief on books and reading is, most books are a bunch of fluff. You know, most business books are a bunch of fluff. And there's one or two really key concepts in each book, and that's what I look for. You know, I look to establish or to get that one key concept out, and a whole bunch of those key concepts put together. You know, the more books I read, the more key concepts I have to work from, you know, and utilize. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, sometimes, you know, a leadership book from somebody might be the perfect thing at the perfect time in life, you know. That you're experiencing something else, and oh wow, this really speaks to me right now. It may not have a year ago.
Right. And I'm the same way. When I first started reading books, when I started off in business, man, I would read a book and I think, oh, that's the way I've got to do my business. And then you read another book and you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
I gotta do it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to the point similar to what you did, is I got to the point where I'm just gonna read through these books and whatever nuggets kind of, you know, kind of speak to me, those are going to speak to me, and I'm going to look at that a little seriously, but I'm not going to read a whole book and be like, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
And so why not have a couple more books and throw some more material out there for people just to, and really the business basics 101, it's going to be business basics 101.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked to my son the other day, you know, works for a very successful welding company, and they were having a challenge with one of their employees. And so I just sat there and listened, and I said, well, who does he report to? And he's like, well, he reports to everybody. And I'm like, I'm like, well, who's his boss?
Here's your problem.
We have a boss. Yeah. Now, Jeff, you and I know, right, from years of experience, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And I have to be very, very slow to give my kids advice. Right.
Yep.
you know. So just listening. And so I thought to myself, you know, I need to write a book that's just like, hey, business basics 101. Mm-hmm. It'll be written. It'll be easy to read. It'll be not that big a book. It won't be long, that any young entrepreneur can grab it and just be like, oh, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, here's another one. You know, I asked one of my clients, I said, well, who's your banker? And his answer was, well, oh yeah, well, I use, you know, Key Bank. And I'm like, well, no, but who's your banker?
Who's your actual banker? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Key Bank. And I said, okay. So that was another lesson that I've learned over the years, that when I say, who's your banker, I say it's Cynthia and she's the manager of this branch right down the street and I have her cell phone number.
Yeah.
That's my banker.
Yeah. Right. Same thing. I mean, the bank I bank with is theoretically they do have, you know, personal accounts, but they mostly are a business bank. And, you know, this is the example of what you need to have in your life. I walk in to deposit a check. I talk to the person that's taking my deposit and all that stuff. Next thing, my kind of the assistant business banker pops out of her office to come say hi to me. Mm-hmm. My business banker comes around the corner. Hey, man, how you doing? Great to see you. That's what you want to experience going into a banking office. Yeah.
So when I say, hey, Jeff, who's your banker? Well, you're not telling me it's XYZ Bank. You're saying,
No. I can tell you the whole team that's there that runs all my stuff for my bank accounts and stuff like that. So I totally agree.
Yeah. So simple, right? I mean, you and I have learned that over the years, but there's a lot of people that don't understand that. And I mean, how many times, like you have multiple accounts, you have multiple businesses, you got all this stuff going on. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've had my banker call me and say, Chris, a check just came through on this account and that account can't cover it. I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
And then you transfer, you get taken care of and you take care of it. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have that relationship, how often is that going to happen?
Yeah. Instead of, we're going to bounce the account and slam your account with $30 and, you know, whatever, figure it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what most business owners don't understand. And the other side of it is they'll bank with, you know, these mega banks and you just don't get that relationship. You know, when I can bank and the bank manager knows my name, you know, the guy who, you know, who's in charge of the entire branch, when he knows my name and comes popping out every time I walk in, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it was funny. I interviewed my banker on a podcast and, you know, I had never asked him the question. I was like, you know, when somebody comes to you and they need a loan, what are the things that you consider? And the thing that shocked me more than anything was it wasn't as much about the numbers per se, as much as I thought. He was like, well, I want to understand how you treat your customers. I want to understand how you treat your employees. You know, and I was like, wow, that completely blew me out of the water. Cause I'm like, I would have thought, hey, it was just about the numbers, but you know, I mean, my first successful business, I had to get an SBA loan and nobody was willing to bank me, and finally found a banker that was as crazy as I was. And, you know, he saw the vision and
how much easier was it when you knew the banker and the banker was working for you?
Absolutely.
I mean, so much different. It just makes it's night and day than just going to another banker and just going through the motions and checking off the boxes and, hey, well, do you do this, do that? It makes such a huge difference. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think the business basics book, I think is an absolute must for that. And that kind of advice, because most people, they'll talk about, you know, setting up accounting and all that, but they don't talk about those kind of relationships that make your life, I mean, it makes your life a lot easier later on. You might be able to bootstrap at the beginning, but at some point you're going to need your banker and you need to know them really well and they need to know you.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, and even when we get to the point in our careers where we're having success, we're cash flowing, we've got money in the bank, well, you know, you still want to have that banker on your team for whatever reason. You know what I mean? You just do. And I think that's kind of the give and take. You know, I think the bankers, I imagine they probably feel the same way. If we were interviewing bankers, they'd probably say, we're going to help out the young entrepreneur because we're going to do whatever we can to help them be successful, because it does. It comes back around, right? Yep. It comes back around. You know, I did a big project a few years ago where we had to raise about $10 million for some construction. And the bank I was working with was, you know, same thing, a little smaller regional bank, but they were being very aggressive and they really wanted to grow their portfolio. And so they said, yeah, let's talk about it. And I learned a lot about it. Like, for example, you know, the banker was very honest with me and said, Chris, can you move some of your accounts into our bank? Because having more accounts, there's like a math formula. Like, we can lend more if we have more. And I'm like, well, sure.
I mean, the other side of it too is they also can see the cash flow much better. So that's a big thing. You know, that can work against you at times, but they can see the cash flow and say, hey, you know, okay, well, this here's we see exactly what's happening with their businesses, and I'm okay with loaning them some money at that point. So
Well, and there's lesson number two. You know, on one side of my mouth, I'm saying, you know, bank, have a relationship. But I'm also a big fan of having multiple banks that I have a relationship with. You know, I think it's just smart, right? That's just a thing.
I think the thing with banks is too, I mean, each of them kind of has their own appetite for certain things.
That is true.
You know, and there may be a project that you're working on where, you know, I think the important thing is you got to understand how banks work, and you have to understand the banking rules. And they might have done a whole bunch of loans to, let's say, doctor's offices or something like that, and they reach a point where they can't do that anymore, or they, you know, they've loaned on a bunch of projects and they reach a point where the regulators get after them and they just can't loan anymore. So having a couple other relationships is good.
They have quotas, they have limits, and I've done the same thing with the bank who I've had a great relationship with. You know, I'm building a hotel, Chris. We're maxed out on hotels.
You can't do any more hotels.
We have lent on hotels, and we can't lend on hotels anymore. You're right. That's just life in the big city.
And it's not their fault. It's just that was what they were aggressive at for a while, and you know, then you got to be in some other area, or you know, you've got to know a banker that bank's now going, hey, you know, we can be aggressive because this one's kind of filled up. We can be aggressive in that area and take on some hotels or whatever. So
that's right. Yeah. Yep.
Totally. Idea. Well, let's switch gears and talk about the fast five questions now.
Oh yeah. I read those. Those are good. They're good.
All right. First one, you wake up in the morning, business is gone. You have $500 in your pocket, laptop computer, place to live, food and clothing. What are you going to do first?
You know, I kind of explain this process. You circle yourself with your inner circle. You bring your people together and say, okay, what's next? And I did that, you know, back in October. It wasn't dire, but it was just the same idea. You get your people, you circle the wagons and talk about what's next and get after it.
Yeah. Love it. I absolutely love it. And you didn't even have to spend $500 to do that besides buying a drink.
Well, right. Right. And probably one of them is going to buy the drinks anyways because they're a friend, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What's the biggest business mistake you've ever made?
Oh, man. You know, I read through these before we got on, and I'm not going to lie. They were a little tricky, but I think the one that resonates the most is not going with my gut. Several years ago, I made some very big, big decisions that I just knew in my gut weren't right, like hiring certain people and aligning myself with certain people, and I didn't follow my gut, and man, did it come back and bite me in the butt big time.
Yeah.
So listen to your gut. It's amazing how your gut knows things.
Heard that more times than not. And I have the ability to see more in people than they see in themselves. So as one of my early interviewees on the show put it, you know, thinking you're hiring eagles and end up hiring turkeys. So, you know, it just...
and it hurts. It hurts.
It does. What's a good book that you'd recommend for our audience?
Well, the very first book I ever read about businesses was The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. Yep. The first one was published in 1986. I still have it. I once in a while I flip through it, but that's where, you know, I learned about, you know, why you build a business, how you build a business. And no matter really what the why is, it's all the same. If you want to be successful, you have to do certain things to make your business work properly. And so, E-Myth by Michael Gerber is a great, you know, simple starter book.
I love it. Absolutely. What is a tool that you use in your business every day that you might recommend?
Well, we just talked about all these apps and all these complicated things, but I'll be honest right now. AI. I knew of AI for the last several years, but it wasn't until probably last October, November that I really just dove in to ChatGPT and have really learned a lot about it and what it can do for me. I've uploaded who I am to ChatGPT, so it speaks my language. It writes the way I write. I'll say right now, AI has been a huge tool for me.
Yeah, I mean that was the thing at the beginning that took a long time to do, was getting it to learn what I call Jeff Kickle style, you know. Now all I have to do is say, hey, I need you to write this in Jeff Kickle style, you know, and it'll spit it out, and it'll be literally as good as I would have written it. Probably better, because I wouldn't have sat there and, you know, I wouldn't have thought of it as comprehensively. I would have been bouncing around like a Kansas City, you know what, from an old movie that I love. So what is your definition of freedom?
Freedom. Do what I want, when I want, and how I want. I know that's pretty cliche, of course, but, you know, having financial freedom, having the ability to just do and go. I've always been a big fan. You know, early on, one of the books I read was The Millionaire Next Door, which talks about living below your means and living within your means and not overextending yourself so you can enjoy life. I work to live. I don't live to work. And so that's allowed me to enjoy life with my family, enjoy life with my spouse, enjoy life just me personally, and not be just a slave to my job and a slave to the work. And so for me, when you ask me what freedom is, I look at that whole big picture. I say, you build a life, you build a business, you build these things so you can actually enjoy life and do what you want, when you want, and how you want to do it. And don't wait. You know, you don't wait till you're 65 and retire and go enjoy life. That's bullshit, pardon my language, but that's fake. That's fake news. You can't do it. So my advice is, you start now, you start in the beginning, you set aside time, you enjoy your life, the business will follow, the business will mold your life and live it that way. And that's freedom, in my opinion.
Well, and structure the business to where you can do that. You know, I think that's the problem, is most people don't think about how they structure a business. You know, they'll put themselves in a situation where it's like, okay, well, there's no way on earth you'll ever have freedom with that business, because you've built this incredible prison with the worst warden that's ever existed.
And like you said, if you structure it from the beginning that this is how you're going to build your business, and this is when I'm available and this is when I'm not available, the business works following those parameters. If you build your business that you're a slave to the company, you're always going to be a slave to the company. It's really hard to pull yourself out of it.
Absolutely. If somebody is interested in learning about you, learning a little bit about bootstraps and bloody knuckles and all that kind of good stuff.
There's a book, Bootstraps and Bloody Knuckles.
Bootstraps and Bloody Knuckles. This could be the name of the 101 book there. Bootstraps and Bloody Knuckles. So where is the best place to learn a little bit about you?
The website, we're just firing up a new website. It's called bootstrapsandbattlescars.com. It'll also be tied to chrisshurian.com. That's just me. But the website will have everything on. You can have direct access to me. You can email me. You can watch some of our podcasts. You can, you know, learn more about Founders Exchange. And then I'll have a lot of my own personal, you know, blogs on there where I talk about things and so forth. But the website's a great place to start.
Perfect. Well, and I mean, if we can go through chrisshurian.com, that gets us right there. Yeah, you know, no matter what. So no matter when somebody watches this. So very cool. Well, Chris, thank you for being on the show. I appreciated you being on. It's been a fantastic conversation, and look forward to keeping in touch with you.
Jeff, that was awesome. I appreciate it. That was a good time. Thank you very much.
And folks, as always, we do these shows for you. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure that you give us an upvote wherever you can. And we will see you guys back here the very next time.
Thank you for listening to the Freedom Nation Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and all the major channels. Wherever you're listening, please subscribe to the channel and leave a rating and review. If you have friends and family that could benefit from their own Freedom Day, please share with them. Finally, join Freedom Nation by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.